Hey there, lifestyle, clothing optional thrill seekers. Ed and Phoebe here, and we've got a spicy announcement.
Brace yourselves for Libertine Events 2024, the ultimate takeover experience, and it's gonna be wild.
Find your tribe with Libertine Events, where you have access to private group chats, host-run seminars, and event surprises around every corner.
Dive into the sultry world of Miami Vices this May, but hurry quick. It's already 70% sold out.
You don't want to miss this opportunity to hang out with hosts like We've Got a Thing, Casual Swingers, Hump Day Quickies, and Expansive Connection, along with the driving force behind the whole event, Wanderlust Swingers.
Save the dates in October because Libertine Events is bringing the heat to San Antonio with Senses 2024. We'll be there, as well as Average Swingers, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, Casual Swingers, Expansive Connection, DJ Life of Spice, and of course, Wanderlust Swingers.
Be sure to use promo code SWINGERU, SWINGERU, when you purchase your tickets to spice up your experience and support Swinger University. Once again, that's promo code SWINGERU. SWINGERU at checkout.
Get your tickets by clicking on the link in the show notes or visiting swingeruniversity.com/libertine.
Do you want to know how to turn your sex life around in 10 days? Today we have a very sexy guest, Layla London, from The Curious Girl Diaries, where she invites you as a voyeur into her diary of sexual encounters. She said no to years of no sex and reclaimed her right to pleasure and sexual freedom in less than 2 weeks and kept going. She's a podcaster and a blogger who helps educate and normalize sexual exploration.
But before we begin, we want to give a shout out to our newest patrons, Mark Lee,
Herrera Dos Reis,
Jack S, and By 38 Double D Boob Fan. We love the support from those who subscribe, and your support really helps. We continually improve our offering to you as a subscriber with upgrades to our technology for our fabulous listening and viewing experience. Lots of juicy behind-the-scenes stories, photos, and some erotic content coming soon. So if you aren't a supporter yet, you are definitely missing out. In fact, you can subscribe right now by scrolling to the notes of this podcast and hit subscribe. Okay, now on to our guest. Welcome, Layla.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
We're very excited.
I'm excited, too. I know. I feel like singing. I know.
Well, it is Friday. I mean, it's one of those days.
Celebrate. Okay.
Yes.
Sometimes I burst into song. So, all right, let's just launch into this. So in the beginning, 3.5 years had gone by with zero sex. Why and how did this happen?
I know. What the fuck? Okay, so here's what happened. I'm probably like a lot of women where I'm just I'm a type A, I'm a go-getter, and yeah. Have been an entrepreneur for a long, long time. And I was so entrenched in my business and everything that was going on that I just really put aside everything that took me away from that to my own kind of personal detriment. And I think women do this a lot. I don't know that men do it, but I think women will do it a lot. We're so focused on this, that, you know, like, I got to do this, I got to do that. And then we will sacrifice our sexuality. And I did. And then I kind of woke up one day and went, what the fuck am I doing? Like, this is ridiculous. I need to stop wasting the pretty. I need to get out there and spread this around.
Nice.
I'm joking a little bit, but what I really realized in that moment was, you know, why am I not out there experiencing life, the sexual aspect of myself? Why am I just putting this in a box and shoving it away? It didn't, at that moment, I knew it didn't feel right. So I kind of very quickly had to come up with a plan. I put my business hat on because being a business person, I'm like, well, there's a problem.
Yeah.
And how, you know, and I had like logical action steps to get myself out of it. And so that's what I did. I kind of used my business model that made me successful business wise and applied that to my sex life and resurrected it very quickly.
So what did this look like? Did you sign up for like 5 apps at the same time? Did you just start with one, or where did you start?
Yes. So I just put myself on a normal like app, you know, right. Hookup site, you know, whatever you want to call them, and made a profile.
Yep.
And within 10 days, I had righted that wrong.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay. So we're after that date, were you like, holy shit, what have I been missing out on? Or was it good sex?
It was good sex.
Okay.
And yes. And I will say that I got very lucky because the first guy that really kind of caught my attention, I told him I was like, I really was honest about like, listen, I have not had sex in 3.5 years. I've just been in this self-imposed dry spell. And I kind of need to get my sea legs again, you know?
Right.
Weird to say, but you know, I just told him like straight up, this is what's happened. I'm wasting the pretty. I need to stop doing that. And like, can you help me? Like, I just want to, you know, get past this.
Nice. And
yeah. And so he was excellent. Actually, he like really made it special the first time. I felt like I was having sex for the first time. It was really kind of sweet. That's and awesome. I was nervous, you know, 'cause he was basically a stranger, but we actually did end up from there dating for a while. So it was a really fun adventure, but what really sprang out of that was that I realized that I wanted to give myself a chance to really explore my sexuality. I made a sex bucket list. If I create these fun things that I want to do, what's going to come of that? And who will I be at the end of all of this? That was really kind of my most interesting question. I was concerned about like, is this going to make me a kinkster? Am I a pervert? Like what? Because I was coming from complete vanilla land. Even less than vanilla land, right? Because I hadn't even been in vanilla land. So I was like, when I do something, I go all in, I jump in the deep end and I'll figure out how to swim while I'm there. That's just how I've always done my business. I'm like, I just jump in. So I wanted to document this stuff for a year. Like I'm going to give myself a year. And I'm going to really let loose and let's see what happens. And so I had the sex bucket list and I just went for it. And the podcast was really me documenting that for myself. And I really, the intention was that I would shut it down in a year.
Ah.
And that was going to be that. That was really the original intention. And then it caught on and I just, here I am 7 years later.
Yeah, that's so crazy. That's always how things work, right? Like you have the plan and then it's like, this is going really well. I'm going to just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened. Yeah. People were like, you can't stop. And I thought, well, okay, I guess I can extend it one more year. And then one more year became one more year. And then one more year. I think about the third year, I just said, okay, fuck it, guys. Like I'm in it. I'm in this. Like, yes, I'm going to keep going because I realized how important sexual exploration and just understanding myself as a sexual being and why we're so driven by that, you know, because I think, right, we don't always know what we don't know, and we don't get this information or this education or even the permission to do this stuff as we're growing up and, you know, coming up and like, information about sexual exploration and different ways to be that are not readily available, really. No. When so I just was like, well, here we go. Here's my lane. I'm going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what did your vetting process look like when you were looking for individuals? Because I had been single, I had been married I'd been married twice before, and the last marriage was 10 years, and it was sexless for a very long time. He suffered from depression, and I woke up one day in my 40s and said, nope, that's not going to continue anymore. And I was just, I mean, I was going on 2 and 3 dates a week. It was like a part-time job. And so it was great. But, you know, I got really good at the vetting process. I got really, you know, clear and direct. But sometimes, you know, that vetting process didn't always pan out so well. How did you vet? Did you have odd experiences?
Do you have a system for it, really?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, not in the beginning, because I experienced a lot of what you're talking about. It's like the wild, wild west. I always say, like, I forced gummed my way through it. Like, you just don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And there's when I jumped into this online dating world, this casual online dating world, right? Because there's match.com stuff, and then there's like the hookup stuff, you know? And I really didn't know at that point like where I was landing with all of this. So that's what, you know, a lot of the earlier episodes of my podcast is about. It's like me, like I said, literally Forrest Gumping my way through all of this shit, like trying to figure it out. And so I don't think there's like a super clear way to the process. But what I can say now is I'm super quick and focused. Like I can weed. It's a sifting and sorting process. And, you know, to what you were saying, I would do like a breakfast meetup, a lunch meetup, and then a dinner, you know, after 5 meetup. Yeah. And I cranked it like a machine. I ran it like a business because I was just like, I got to figure this out. I need to sort of systematize this and then make it as possible. Right. That's the unglamorous side of it, right? I mean, you know, I'm like, there's all these guys, and I feel like as women, the nice part about that is we have a lot of leverage, you know, because men, right, they want to get their dick sweat. Sorry. I hope I can say that on this show. And so they're going to kind of acquiesce a little bit to, you know, how we set the flow. So it's important that somebody at least is setting some sort of, you know, raising the bar or putting it somewhere that somebody has to get over or meet. Otherwise, you know, you're both kind of like lost in the wilderness about how to do this stuff. So I very quickly just was like, this is how I need to crank the wheel. This is how I churn it. And so it's just, I like to chat a little bit on the apps. Do I feel there's a physical attraction? Now, are we, you know, I give everybody like a burner number. I don't give out my personal number. I learned that the hard way. Like all this stuff I've learned the hard way about internet safety and just like what you do and what you don't do. And then, you know, I try to move it forward very quickly too. Then let's meet face to face for some sort of either, you know, drink or coffee. And that's something that doesn't involve the expectation of we're just right after that, we're going to move on to a physical encounter. This is just so that I can establish if you have chemistry with me and I have chemistry with you, and there's no pressure either way because, you know, sometimes it's just not there. Right. And then after that, then we move forward. Yeah.
Right.
And so that's kind of my quick and dirty process.
Yeah. And I had read a book, some advice from a man who had said, you know, don't always be available. I mean, you don't want to always just be available, right? You have a life, you have a timeline too. So don't just, you know, even if you don't have something going on right after, pretend like you do.
My earlier episodes, like I will say, you know, like guys will just, they'll hit you up like, what are you doing tonight? Like, or do you want to, you know, I'm available. Do you want to meet? And I'm just like,
no.
I might be totally available and my schedule might be wide open, but just on sheer principle, because I don't want you to get in the habit of thinking I'm just readily available. Cause you know what the truth is, most of the times I'm not.
Right.
But I don't want to set that standard. And I appreciate someone that puts a little forethought into scheduling time with me. I think that's the one thing that, and it's not to get down on men, but I think that they're more like, you know, they run their days a little more freely. And I think women are more like, hey, because we need time to get ready. I mean, I want to show up looking, you know, my best Layla self, whether I'm making that look like I've just been running around all day look, or I really put some effort, whatever it is, we behind the scenes, we make an attempt to pull off that image, whatever it is. Yeah. And so I like a little time. And I also like to know that this person thought of me ahead of time and I'm not just some like spur of the moment.
Yeah.
Hey, you're available, come meet me. You know, it makes a difference. And so, yes, there would be guys who'd be like, hey, what are you doing tonight? You want to grab dinner? And I'm like, oh, so, you know, I might have zero on the books. I'm like, no, yeah. Can't do it. Maybe tomorrow. Cause I'm like, oh, just give me, you know, hit me. I appreciate advance notice. Could you give me some, you know, I try to sort of breadcrumb those principles to them.
Yeah.
Hopefully they
catch on. Yeah, I mean, it really does show a sense of respect for for the other person's time and their life and their agenda. And, you know, especially at the 10 o'clock booty call kind of thing that they do, they're like, yeah, you know, the movie's over. Let me just give her a call and see if she wants to swing by. Like, that's just not respectful.
Yeah.
I don't answer those. Mm-hmm. I don't answer those. Yeah, I don't. And I expect that more from maybe younger, like 20 somethings. I still don't answer it, but if I get that, but what really I'll tell you, I'll give those guys a pass. But what happens is with the, you know, if anybody that's what I call age appropriate, closer to my age, I'm like, somebody didn't raise you right. I'm sorry. You know, like that's a really quick for me, decision about yes or no. Like this guy just doesn't have respect for women or, I don't know. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things about that. I'm like, that's strange, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Don't you have enough going? Maybe you don't have enough going on in your life that you need to pre-plan. But again, you know, when you're older, like that's an indicator to me, like, you know, maybe we're not really like a good match.
Right. Right. So then how have you ever ran into anyone that wanted to, you know, stay overnight or cuddle too long, or they started to get attached? And how did you stay unattached, or did you stay unattached?
That's such a good question. So in the beginning, I still have some same rules and boundaries, but in the beginning, especially, it was just like no overnights. Like there's no sleepovers. Right. I just knew. Like that breeds, you know, attachment and things like that. And I really wanted to, in the very beginning, I really wanted to just not have to deal with any of that. And so I did best. Now, about a year, you know, maybe a year and a half into it, what I realized was, I don't know that I have all that much control over that sometimes, as much as I'd like to think I do. And so I generally don't do sleepovers, but I also have acknowledged, unless it's a long-term partner, like some of these move into, like, you know, when you move into friends with benefits over the long haul, yes, of course I do.
Right.
But I have tried to just maintain, you know, keep it on a nice casual level. And then, but with also with acknowledging that sometimes you don't have as much control over that as we'd like to think. I'm a control freak. I like to think I control everything.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of this social experiment that I've done. Now I'm 7 years into it, is that I've realized, you know what? Sometimes you don't have as much control over that as you'd like. And that's okay too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about good communication and talking to the other person, you know, and when the feelers start to develop, you just be honest about it. If someone's not at the same level, that doesn't bother me. Or when they come to me and they're developing something that I'm not maybe reciprocating, or maybe I am, whatever, it's okay. You know, I just appreciate good communication and honesty when it comes to that stuff.
Oh, that's nice. That's refreshing. I mean, I don't think a lot of people really have the tools or that maybe even the maturity to kind of have those conversations. And then they don't say anything, and people just kind of get led down that road. And so then what if someone said, hey, you know, I'm starting to have feelings for you. Do you decide to go with it? Or do you just go, well, you know, maybe you should take a little break for a little while? Want an adventure that will give you memories for a lifetime? We've been on 3 Bliss cruises, and they were filled with daily sexy activities, great conversations, evening theme parties, and exciting memories. There's something for everyone, no matter where you are in your lifestyle journey. All are welcome. Book your cruise through our link and create your unforgettable experience, moments, and smiles. Visit swingeruniversity.com/vacations and book your trip today.
So I'm pretty, like I said, so in the very beginning, I had just this very narrow idea about what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing. And again, that's a beauty of, you know, the Curious Girl Diaries and everything. It's really, this is a documentation of my sexual evolution and everything that involves, the feelings, all the stuff that we don't really like to talk about and put out there. Right. And nice. So that's really why I can say, like, you know, now I'm way more comfortable with saying my intention is this, but if something changes, let me know, or I will let you know. And I never feel weird about that. Because, you know, you want it to be a casual friends with benefits thing, but I have had many relationships that were, you know, where both of us fell in love with each other, and but it was still open. So that was the fun part, is that, you know, you could still explore and with other partners and experiencing everything you want to experience and cross things off my bucket list, because not every guy wanted to do all the things right. that I had on my list. And that was right. It's going to be really hard to plug. This is why I think monogamy is so difficult, because it's really hard, I think, to put all that pressure on one person
right.
to yes. meet all those needs.
Right.
Because we're all so diverse, and it's really a very, in my opinion, at this point, it's a really hard bar to reach, or a level to reach, is that one person is going to meet all of that sexually. And so, you know, it's just opened up my mind about, well, what is our sexuality, and does anybody really control that? Like, I can commit to somebody and say, you know, like, you're my person. Mm-hmm. Does that mean, you know, that I don't want to experience something oddball off the cuff that maybe you aren't interested in?
Right.
No.
Yeah, right.
How do we bridge that gap? What do we do with that? And so as I've gone along with this and evolved and being able to capture all of my changes, I've just realized that, you know, it's okay. When feelings happen, that's okay. Yeah. We talk about it, and then we kind of figure out, like, how are we going to make this work? We, you know, there's always a way. Like, what are we going to do? and how are we going to make it work? And it just really means that the other person probably has to be open to the fact that, and me too, right? That they may have some needs that they need to get met elsewhere, and myself as well. And so, you know,
yeah, we've heard from some friends that where feelings start to develop with another couple in the swing lifestyle, and then they decide to try polyamory, and then they have to have, you know, those discussions about what that's going to look like and the feelings that come up for that, with that. And it's an interesting process. I don't know personally if I could handle all those extra people, but in a poly relationship, but for some people they've tried it and it didn't work. And then for other people, they're still trying it to see if it does work. But it's an interesting process.
One of the really big advantages we've found with the swing lifestyle is when you do have those curiosities that you can, you know, venture out, you can try new things. And we acknowledge pretty early on that there's a lot of couples who want to experience bisexuality. Well, you can't really do that if you're a heterosexual couple. Like, suddenly someone can't be that for your partner. And so you're right. Like, there's just some things that can't meet the need. I will never be Jason Momoa. I'm never going to be, you know, 6'4", the long curly hair. Like, I could put a wig on, but it's not the same.
I know. That's true.
No, I mean, I get it, right? Because we all have these weird little proclivities, like, you know, what is in there? And that's what I mean. Our sexuality is so vast and diverse. And I don't think enough people give themselves the opportunity to explore that, to even start to kind of uncover these things. And, you know, they just kind of know that, well, you know, or I think for, you know, if we take like a normal, you know, monogamous long-term couple, they, you know, it's like, I don't know very many long-term monogamous couples that are extremely happy with their sex lives. A lot of it's non-existent. And I think that that's really, you know, sad. I don't think that has to be. I think there's just, for me, I'm a, like, where there's a will, there's a way kind of girl. Like,
right.
We can, I'm problem solution. You know, I'm just like, what do we do to fix this? And there's just so many options and so many different ways to skin a cat. And so to think that we have to sort of like try to fit into this model, this weird model that we've been fed, is we need to start pushing back on that a little bit and just realizing that there's just a lot of ways to solve this and experience what you want to or need to or are curious about sexually. And it doesn't have to be a one size fits all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if you don't get all swinger about the whole thing or venture out, there's such a, I think we have a problem in the United States in particular, where we don't talk about sex. We don't talk about sexuality. We don't talk about our own sexual needs. And even if you were going to stay monogamous, if you can't talk about it, there's no way your partner's going to be able to meet your needs. If it's not discussed, if you don't bring it up, if you don't ask for it, it's not going to happen. I mean, you're lucky if it just falls into your lap. And it's unfortunate. And I think one of the things that's really nice about what you've done is you've committed to, I'm going to explore my sexuality, period. Like, I'm not putting boundaries up. I'm just going to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And the nice thing about that, I will say, is that there's a lot of things that I thought initially that I would be really drawn to and that were going to be, you know, hot. And then as I get there and experience them, I'm not always so excited about that specific thing. But what I end up discovering is, oh, because I was open and I put myself in that scenario, I discovered this. That wasn't even on my radar. And that was fucking hot.
Right.
And
right.
I want for that. And I always say, like, one door like opens 10 others. You know, it's not like, and that's why once people just are open and they start exploring, what they'll realize is there's just so much out there. You don't even really have to have the right roadmap to it. Just allow yourself to be in certain scenarios and be open. And what is, you know, you'll discover things that you weren't even planning on. And that's the fun stuff. That's like the beauty of it. But it just, it keeps expanding. I always say sex begets sex, like that energy and that just hotness and curiosity and all that. It just keeps building on itself. Sure. So yeah, it's not like you, oh, that was boring or, you know, it might be right. I mean, like that one thing I didn't get what I thought I was going to get out of it, but I got 10 more that were so unexpected, you know? Right. So that's a fun.
So that's refreshing and nice to know, because I've only experienced what you've experienced one-on-one, I'm assuming. I've only experienced that in a group setting with more than one, where the world is just kind of opened up. But you're experiencing all these new things. You didn't know what you didn't know till you encountered this other person. And all of a sudden, boom, you didn't know you liked that. And that's how it's been for us in the swing lifestyle, but you're experiencing this with just different partners.
Hey there, podcast listeners. You've been tuning into our episodes, but have you ever wondered about the steamy details of our adventures, or maybe hungry for some sultry, erotic stories?
Well, guess what? We've got something special just for you. Our exclusive Patreon page. It's like a VIP pass to the saucier side of our world.
So if you're ready for an exclusive behind-the-mic experience, head over to our Patreon page now. Trust us, this is where the magic happens.
See you there, patrons.
But also in even, like, I think I'm like, If I was on a professional sports team, you would call me like the utility player. Like, you can put me in this role, you can put me in that role. Like, I could be swinger, I can be in the monogamous stuff, I can be in the polyamorous stuff. Like, I have dabbled in all of it. Oh. And it's like smorgasbord for me. That's the fun part. It's just like, I get to experience all these things. And then I really start to understand, you know, what works best for me. Ah. And then I'm that much better at telling my partners what I want and need and what's exciting and fun. And, you know, and once I started doing that and that was clicking in, that's what made all of this really easy, because, you know, you have this list of things you want to do and you meet somebody and they're like, okay, well, that doesn't interest me and that doesn't interest me, but this does. And so you're like, okay, you're my person for that. And then, you know, this thing, nice. This threesomes or what, you know, or it's like, right. or this aspect, like, you know, I want to do like fisting, or I'm just throwing stuff out there. Right, you know, right. Like, I don't know, like right. All these different things that I just didn't know were even on the menu. Right.
Right.
Just, it leads in so many directions and it's really, really fun. And as long as it's, you know, as long as you've got consenting adults and everybody's on board with it, then off you go. And it's just nice. Been so much, it's been wild, but fun. Yeah. Fun. And I like to just, like I said, to, you know, I'm not really in one specific lane. Like, you know, I love BDSM. I love to be submissive, but right now I'm also, I have a submissive and I'm exploring that, you know, and nice. Like teasing the aisle with him and just, I'm putting him in a cock cage and all this fun stuff. And he loves it, you know? And I'm like, that's great. I always thought I wanted to be this submissive. And for many years I was, and just, it's what I've really learned is it's a full circle. It's mm-hmm. not like you're just one aspect. It really mm-hmm. it, like, okay, you may, that may be your primary lane, but jump over and discover like the flip side, because it really teaches you a lot about, for me being the dominant, really teaches me so much about my own submission and mm-hmm. what I really love and crave about it. And then I take what I experienced and love so much and I apply that over here.
Right.
It makes me fully appreciate what my previous dominant had to go through and did, and that just the thoughtfulness and the mindfulness and all that stuff. And so none of it's wasted.
Yeah.
Right.
And nobody, and I'm never sorry for all the orgasms I have because I'm having them. No matter what lane I'm in, I'm having a lot. So that's always good too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very much that walking in somebody else's shoes, even briefly, you appreciate your own position so much more. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
So much sense.
Is there anything, can you think of, I'm sure there's lots of things that surprised you along this road of discovery, but can you think of one that where you know, light bulb moment came on and you're like, wow, I really didn't know I liked that.
Lots. Really honestly, lots, but I'll give you just kind of the two that sort of jump into my head that the fastest. And that is, when I wanted to first go to like a sex party and be in that environment, and I went with a partner, and I really thought what we were going there for was maybe we would find a girl and we would have a threesome, because at that point I hadn't had a threesome. And I just, you know, thought, okay, we're going to find a girl or we're going to find another couple or whatever and do some swapping. And while I was there, I didn't really meet, you know, we didn't find anybody that I really felt like there was a connection with,
yes,
but
yes.
Which I'm sure happens a lot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's always all these weird discrepancies about why, you know,
right?
You could like 10 couples and it's like, yeah, it's just not that the vibe is not quite right.
Right.
But because I have found it does get harder. The more people are involved, like the probability of this happening exponentially goes up for it's not going to happen. Like, it's just hard.
Right.
And so, you know, people think swimmers, oh, you just put yourself out there and everyone's just groping and grabbing. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that. But not, at least not for me anyway.
No.
But so we went there and that was my expectation. And I, you know, I really went there thinking like it was a masquerade ball. And I thought, just be like an eyes wide shut and everybody's going to be sexy, perfect and beautiful and gorgeous like the movies. And when we got there, we were in the freaking suburbs, you know, like it was a takeover in somebody's house.
Yep.
Everybody in their beds, like their children's bunk beds were covered in plastic. This was like, this was me literally jumping in the deep end. I'm like, holy shit. Okay. So we get there and we're roaming around and. Again, like I said, we didn't really meet anybody, my partner and I, we really didn't meet anybody that I was like, well, I would, you know, I'm totally attracted to both of them. Let's do this. But we ended up going into this room. They had different themed rooms. And we ended up going to this room where couples were just having sex. And at that point I was like, I don't want to have sex in front of just random people. But what I am excited was give him a blowjob. And so as I'm doing this, I can hear people around me watching and like being very interested in, you know, and I can hear them talking and I could hear them getting turned on, and that really like triggered me. I was just like, people have asked me before, like, would you like to be watched? I'm just like, no, that doesn't do anything for me. Like, well, I don't want to be watched. I want the action, you know, I want to be in it. But what I realized was that turned me on big time. Like the exhibition side, like I didn't even know that was on my radar. Yeah. So that was, you know, that was one thing that just kind of like changed some things.
Yeah.
Moving. I had that experience again at another sex club with a partner that I was really connected with. And that just was probably the most turned on I was, you know, I was really literally dripping down my leg. I was so turned on. I'd never experienced that. And then, you know, we were the people that were next to us, like kind of coming in and watching, and I could feel them, like they were so close. Like I could feel their body heat and their, you know, breathing. And it was just like, it did something. It was really hot. And I'm like, okay, I like people picking up on the sexual chemistry with me and my partner and vibing on it. You know, really, I think that was the first step for me to realize, okay, I could bring in other people because this feels so hot that I could share it. Right. And yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah. And what's fun about that story is you went into a situation with an expectation, and because things just went sideways, so to speak, and yeah. you made lemonade and you turned out you really liked it. And we have that happen all the time where we've got a plan in our head, not necessarily setting expectations, but we think we're going to go in and it's going to go this particular way, and you get there and nobody's your fancy, but you have to improvise and you end up discovering stuff. And mm-hmm. we had that with one of our first swing events, and we were like, well, nobody's really having sex. Let's go in the room. We'll have sex with each other. Next thing you know, yeah. we're the center of the entire room and everybody's watching us. And it turned into like an 8-way oral orgy. It was fantastic. And we've never been able to reproduce that, so to speak.
Yeah. Cause there's like magic in that moment. Like yes. it really is it's everybody just putting aside their limitations. You're just you're just going with it. You're already there with someone that you know, you both are you're sexually excited about each other. And you're like, hey, we're going to do this. And then other people like that. It's that energy that yeah. other people get to pick. And that really is, I think, a big part of what makes it sexy, you know? Mm-hmm. And so people saw your connection and were just like, that's fucking hot. You know, like, right.
exactly.
Let me see what's going on there. And they couldn't have, you know, then you guys sparked this whole, 8-way.
Yeah. Yeah. And those opportunities allow you to, like you said, be kind of tangential to something. You weren't even thinking about that. You'd said you weren't into exhibitionism, but that opportunity kind of led you that way. And now you found something else that you like, which is exactly how all of this stuff goes. Until you see it or experience it, you don't know whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think open-mindedness, like I said, I encourage people just to put themselves in the situation. They're not obligated to do anything. And what I really love about, you know, the swinger community and, you know, the clubs, sex clubs and things like that is that everybody's so freaking respectful. That's what I found anyway. Like mm-hmm. I'm sure there's ding-dongs out there. There's ding-dongs in every bunch, but I feel like the swinger community is way more, conscientious and respectful, and ask for permission way more so than just some ding dong on an app who all of a sudden, you know, sends me a dick pic, you know, like, or asks me for, you know, some picture, you know, that I don't want to give them that I don't even know this person. Right. Right. And it's just like, right. you know, I feel like it's civilized and there's manners, and I appreciate that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How did you find the kink world, and who introduced you to that? Or did that somehow float up onto your radar and then you just added it to your list?
So I think some of the kink ideas and concepts that was already in my brain when I made my bucket list, mm-hmm. you know, the things I wanted to try. And so naturally they led me in that direction. You know, I got a lot of my inspiration initially from, you know, just the porn I would watch when I'd masturbate or whatever, you know, like right. things, fantasies in my head.
Right.
And
right.
so like for me, the sex parties, like a lot of that, I'll be honest, came from the Eyes Wide Shut, yes. you know, and yeah. that's why.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how it's going to be. You know, yeah. it's going to be these beautiful people. Everybody's perfect. And then, you know, and they show up and literally it's everybody from every walk of life and every body type and every age and every lifestyle. And that was such a good, powerful message for me, because I, you know, just felt like sort of, I don't want to say biased towards it, but I just had this belief, you know, from what I'd seen
right.
in movies, that's all I had to go on. And right. what I just want to tell people is it's for, you know, sexual exploration, no matter what it is, how kinky it is or how vanilla it is, it's for everybody.
Right.
Doesn't
right.
matter what you weigh. It doesn't matter how you look. Doesn't matter your age, your, you know, the size of your parts or anatomy. It's for everybody. So like, jump in.
Exactly. We that was the refreshing aspect as well. When we got into the community, it was so nice just to see that freedom and that everyone was being able to have that experience for them without the shame and without, you know, the confidence issues. I mean, maybe they had them, you know, inside, but they weren't showing them. They were there. They were faking it till you make it kind of thing. And it was great. It's so refreshing. And because, you know, you see nothing but the standard body type in porn, and to be able to see not that at a party, yes, is amazing. It is very refreshing. It's just,
yes, and awesome. Especially, I'll speak just, you know, you and I are women, and like, for me, there's just a lot of, I don't think you're going to argue, like, you know, when we see stuff out there, anything that's sold or advertised is usually, you know, with a person that looks a certain way.
Yes.
And so it's hard to kind of feel like, okay, well, where do I land in that? And just when you, and that was like the refreshing thing for me, was when I went to these parties, it was just like everybody from all walks of life. And when I see somebody that is, you know, maybe they're not in the same shape that I am, maybe they're, you know, that naturally, because their bodies have been through other things that mine haven't,
right,
they look a certain way, and that's normal, and they are just confident as hell. And I'm just like,
what?
Yes,
I know.
Like, that doesn't that bring, I mean, that just makes me so comfortable.
Yeah.
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 And that's what I really actually can really appreciate so much about the swinger community, is that the confidence, like, I'm just like, oh, Jesus, yeah. I can take a page out of that book. Like, I love it. I love, yeah, how open and comfortable people are. And it's really been, for, as a woman, it's really been nurturing and enlightening and just, mm-hmm, confidence building, you know, for myself as well.
Yeah.
Just to be like, hey, you know what? It's, you got it. Let's flaunt it. Let's rock it. Cause it's not going to look any better than it is right now in this very moment, and stop thinking behind or ahead, be in the moment and go with it and enjoy yourself.
Exactly. That was really well said. I know. I totally agree. Have you ever had anyone directly shame you at a party or, you know, one-on-one, where they said, you're tall and thin, why don't you just take off all of your clothes? Like, have you had people make comments to you like this? Which I have had, and it really annoys me. and I'm really trying to focus and educate the community that's not okay. We're comfortable when we're comfortable. And just because everyone else takes off their clothes doesn't mean I have to take them off at the same time.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, from partners, from just people kind of out in the community. And again, I am really, the one thing I can say at this point is I am very, very centered on where my boundaries are, and I don't need to cross them or do anything to make anybody else feel better. It's not about them. It's about me and how I'm feeling and what suits me best and what I'm most comfortable with. And so if anybody doesn't respect that or doesn't understand that, you know, I certainly am not shy about letting them know.
What did you say? So what did you say if someone's like, give me an example.
Okay, well, a lot of times it depends on my mood, like how spicy I'm going to be. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, you know, or what time of the month it is, where I'm at, what just happened that day. I mean, there's a lot of factors in how direct I'm going to be.
That's true.
And I have no problem, you know, because again, just in business, you know, I'm just like, I will I will get you, you like square in the eyes. Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but, it just, so I really, a lot of times I'm mirroring back to the person, the level of intensity that they're coming at me with. And so, cause I feel like that's what they're going to, that's what's going to be the most effective with them. So, yeah. So some, so what I have found is a lot of times it's a slow and subtle manipulation, and it's an attempt for someone to get you again, like it's a kind of a control thing. And I just immediately just don't have any problem just shutting it down.
What if someone walked up to you and immediately started kind of tugging at your clothes and going, you know, you're wearing too many clothes. You really need to take that off. So they approached you. They didn't ask for consent to touch you. They started tugging at your clothes. And then they told you you were not dressed okay. So they basically attacked you in three separate ways.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I would immediately be like, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't give you consent to touch me. My goal is when somebody's inappropriate is turn it around and ask a question about their inappropriateness. So they immediately have to.
Oh,
right. Defending why? Well, I'm not. There's no reason why I have to defend what amount of clothing I have on at all.
True.
But the real question here is why you feel like you get to violate my boundaries without consent. I'd like to know the answer to that.
Oh, you know, I'll stare,
like I will stare directly in their eyes, and it's silence until they speak first. That's a power technique because people don't like silence, and they will like instantly, like they're going to start to stop.
Right.
You know, they're going to start to bumble their way through it. Right. And so that's just me snatching control and being like, sorry, wrong girl. Yeah.
I like that.
I like that too.
Snatching control back. There is a power imbalance there, and I want to snatch that power back.
This is how I look at it. They didn't snatch any power from you unless you consent, unless you allowed it. So that's why I don't allow it by making sure that it's shifted back on where, you know, where the control is. The control is with me. It is not with you. Now you answer my questions. You're going to answer to me about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I do. I've been looking for different techniques. You know, as we talked about, the day is different. The situation is different.
The person you're interacting with is different.
The person you're interacting with is different. Yeah. Are there five people standing around or one person standing around? I mean, is it loud music, soft music? Like, you know, each social setting is going to be different. Is there a waiter standing there? Like, you know, how is it being handled? So you always have to kind of figure out.
I understand that. And I totally feel like I know where you're coming from. And I think that there's this social cue in us where we're like, oh, don't make a scene, or we don't want to make this person feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
Well, but actually you're taking on the discomfort when it really shouldn't be landing on you. And so the appropriate thing to do is politely and effectively, like you don't have to make a big scene and, you know, get crazy, but very quickly, it doesn't matter how many people are watching, is to, again, put it back on them and make them answer to you why they just did that.
Right.
Because they did the inappropriate thing, not you.
Right.
So all you're doing is pointing that out. And I feel like as adults, you know, it's okay that they should be able to handle that. Regardless of who's standing right there.
Right. Right.
It kind of goes back to parenting, really. When you're like,
exactly.
You're like,
it's exactly, you have a naughty child.
Yeah.
I call it swift and terrible. It's the swift and terrible. Like that way they know, like, oh, they won't do that again because they had a specific action that received a specific consequence. And that's how they want.
And the consistency that response is, and if we can model that behavior for other people to see, right? I mean, it is. It's still training people socially.
Yes.
I like this. I like it.
I like it too.
So we're going to ask you some random questions and you have to answer with the first thing that pops into your head.
Okay. I love it.
Circumcised or uncircumcised?
Both.
You can have it all.
You can.
Favorite condom?
None.
Favorite lube?
Just being honest. I mean, I know we have to use them, but I mean, like,
they do suck.
It's an answer and it's perfectly acceptable. There are no wrong answers here.
Okay.
Favorite lube?
I love Foria.
Oh, I haven't tried that one.
We'll make note. Check that out.
CBD. Yeah, it's really good for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, cool. Favorite vibrator?
Old school. Like, I love my Hitachi Magic Wand.
Oh, she's in the Hitachi girl. All right. Consistent orgasms, masturbation or sex?
Wait, four consistent orgasms?
Yes. If your go-to for having an orgasm.
Hmm. I mean, both. Like, I have an orgasm no matter what. Like, wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Mutual masturbation, hot or not?
Hot.
Tacos, crispy or soft? You're a yes and for sure. Bourbon, neat or on the rocks?
Neat.
Oh,
perfect.
I'm liking you already.
No, wait. Oh, shoot. Okay, I'm gonna go. Yeah, neat. Fine.
Dirty talk. Yeah. Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Okay, sexual partners, more than 50 or more than 100?
I even hit 50 at this point. That's a good question. I would say it has to be 50 or below.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was fun. We're going to do that more. That's...
I know. I like that.
Because it kind of catches you off guard, right? And you have to kind of...
And you learn stuff. Like, I just learned about a new lube. That's kind of cool. I might have to check that out.
It's really good lube. Yeah. Mm. For you.
All right. I'm making a note of that. Do you have to train the men, educate them on like what you like in order to have a good sexual experience? Or do you feel like it's pretty easy for you to orgasm irregardless of what they do?
When I was younger, I really knew how I could orgasm. And so I got to a point where I was just like, I wasn't shy about making sure that, you know, I did what I needed to do to have an orgasm, whether or not they were cluing in on that. But as I got older, what I got better with was just being more vocal and telling someone what I like and what's hot. And I just find that, you know, you hear women complaining about men, but the truth is, I find that men generally want to be good pleasers and they want you, like, that turns them on. Like, yeah. I don't know that I've ever really run across a man that was just like, didn't give a shit if I had an orgasm or not. Like, that gets them excited. Yeah. So I think that, you know, women, we really need to be better and more comfortable with just telling them, like, what turns us on and how, you know, like, oh, you know, like, put your hand down here. This feels so good. Or, oh my God, I love it when you don't stop doing that, or whatever it is, to give them encouragement, like in the moment. You're just feeding the beast. I mean, they will take these cues and run with it. You just need to give them a ballpark, you know, to sort of like shoot for where they're going, and they will, you know, and that makes them feel good. And like they're men, you know, and they're making you come, and they are.
Yeah.
And so it's really just something I think the onus, you know, I'm going to have to say the onus lies on women to explain and be articulate enough and be comfortable enough to tell your partner what you need. Because what I've realized is as women, we're all wired so differently. There's really, now that I've been in a, you know, a throuple and actually trying to figure out another woman's body, even though I'm a woman, it's fucking hard. I can say all men are forgiven. Like the first time I saw another pussy that was not mine, I was like, where's her clit? Like, what do? I don't know. Like
same.
It is.
The struggle is real.
More women need to be in that position, and you are going to totally be like, okay, guys, like, ooh, I am so sorry if I put that much pressure on you. It is not easy. Yeah. We are not a one size fits all. I get it. And because of that, now I'm just more invested in making sure that every time I'm with somebody that I have a good time and that they're having a good time. And part of them having a good time is just knowing what turns me on. And so I'm very upfront and vocal about it. And that just breeds a lot of fun, sexy talk, even before you get into the bed, you know, like what you like. So, yeah.
100%. I help prepare. I will totally confirm that men are like dogs. You give us a few instructions and a couple treats, we are happy. So, you know, we start getting the signs, and that's made my experience. So little direction and straight to it, and I'm good.
Yeah.
And I think the challenge from kind of the male perspective with women is, like you said, parts are in different places. Sensation is different. Some women's nipples are sensitive. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're oversensitive. Yeah. So it's constantly relearning everybody's stuff and where every woman's buttons are. I'll also say, to kind of put a little bit of weight to men, they need to ask for what they like too. And I have a hard time doing that. And so I will freely admit that I'm not exactly sure what I prefer, for example, with a blowjob. But I know I like it all, but like I could probably figure out a little bit better in terms of direction and how to guide. And yeah, we need to use our words more.
I know. It's funny though, because I've asked you that before and you go, I just like it all. And I'm like, okay, well
it's kind of a cop-out answer. Yes, I admit that.
I'm like, well, what, do I put the finger up the butt now or do I not? Or which one now or ever? I don't know.
I know. The one thing that's kind of come out of this, or well, there's a lot of things, but just like the one thing I'm really into too is I love to study my partner and just like, you know, pay attention to his body cues. Like, is his stomach flexing? Like when he's getting close to orgasm, his breathing patterns, like how he sounds, all that stuff. It's like, it's really exciting for me to sort of master, you know, his intensity and just, and understanding what he needs and what he wants. And it's fun. I mean, like, you know, if you really kind of open yourself to it and just, it's an exploratory adventure. And how can I, you know, be like, my goal is selfishly, like, I just want to rock his world. Like if I am, and I'm sure, like, you know, like all the women out there are probably nodding their heads, right? If I'm going to shake my legs, everything, do the whole like procedure to get naked with you, I want you to come away from this going like, damn, like she just fucking rocked me. And like, my ego needs that. Like, I want that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I pay attention the same way I approach a partner, the same way I would want my partner to approach me. And that's with just a lot of like paying attention and mindfulness and being in the moment and just totally all about his pleasure.
Yeah.
And I think when you bring that level, I found with men, it comes back tenfold. Like they are so into getting you off and pleasing you. And they just need a few little, like, give them a few little markers, road markers. You're in the right spot. Yep. And you're going to go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a few experiences where I was giving someone pleasure. One was with a man and one was with a woman, where that same experience was happening. The same thing that you described, where the breathing changed, you know, I remember I was giving oral to this woman. This was more recent. That was fabulous. It was, you know, I knew I was doing something right when her legs clamped over on my head and batted my ears. And I'm like,
the earmuffs.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh shit, she's going to come. And I'm like, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. And I wanted to just like jump up and down. I felt like a rock star. I was like, oh my God, the power in that moment and the euphoria that just washed over me. I'm like, I did it. I did it. I was like, oh, I need more of that. That was like amazing.
Do you feel more like patting yourself on the back when you've done another woman? Like for me, it's like, If I can like master her stuff, I'm like, oh yeah. Like, I don't know why I take that. I wear that more as a badge of honor. Like good with it.
Yeah. Yes. I think probably because we can appreciate how complicated we are. And
yes,
I don't
know
all her buttons. And I somehow magically figured it out because I have the secret key into that world because I'm a woman also. And so somehow I've been granted the special pass.
I love that you had a Freudian slip in there where you fingered it out.
Did I say fingered it out?
It sounded like that to me. Maybe I'm just wishfully thinking.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll have to do a replay on that. It was fabulous. I need more of that.
We have made that our agenda recently, and that more female experience.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's been great talking to you about your adventures and your experiences. And we had mentioned at the beginning of this that you have your own podcast. What other services or what other offers do you have that you can tell our audience about?
One of the things that I did straight away was I developed a bucket list tutorial so that it's free. Someone can go to the website, which is thecuriousgirldiaries.com. And in about 45 minutes, I will help you crank out, you know, a sex bucket list. You can do that separately or with your partner, and you'll have at least, you know, 3 to 5 good things, if not more. I say more, but just saying, if you just literally are low on creative thinking, I help you with that a lot, but you'll at least have 3 to 5 good, solid things that you can go and investigate, you know, as far as expanding your sexuality, but probably way more than that. And then I also have, I do a private podcast. So the private podcast is really kind of more of a tribute to going back to my roots when I first would just literally sit at my desk with no microphone, no editing software. And if I had an idea, I hit record. It was just raw audio. But what I loved about that was that it was so
intimate,
authentic.
Yeah.
And intimate. So the private podcast is really like it's back to that. It's also the stories behind the stories, the things that I didn't talk about on the podcast, like what the story that was going on with that person that nobody knew about. It's also the I have outtakes from my audio journals that I kept at the time that are very private. It's just, I've gotten extra spicy, and it allows me to go deeper and connect with my listeners even more. So that's what the private podcast is all about. But I'm now expanding that into a community. And that's launching. I'm changing the private podcast into more of a community format. And that'll be live, should be in May. Nice. And then the last thing is I'm bringing on more curious girls.
Oh.
Yes. I'm building a podcast network. you know, this model, if when something's based on solely you, you can only take it so far. Right. And I don't know, I can't tell you that, you know, 20 years from now or however many years from now, like I'll want to be doing this.
Right.
But as it grew, what I realized is it's not about me. It's about the message. And the message is that ultimately I would love for sex and sexuality to be so commonplace. Like there is no
right
stigma around this stuff anymore. Our dialogue is open. We are not ashamed. It's normal and natural. And my hope, my ultimate hope is that 10, 20 years from now, somebody says, oh my God, you listen to the Curious Girl Diaries. Like my grandma listens to that. That is so freaking tame. Like when I am no longer salacious, I have done my job.
Right.
That's my goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're with you on that in terms of kicking down those barriers so that people can be comfortable with their own sexuality and not have to feel ashamed that they happen to enjoy sex. Everybody does it. So can we just get over that?
Hey, have you heard? SDC is more than just a dating site. They have expert contributors and educators like us and from all around the world to guide you in everything from how to talk to your partner about swinging and the different kinds of open relationships.
You can also find out what you need to know before opening up your relationship, common swinger conflicts, and how to resolve them.
Have you ever wanted to know what a swingers club is like? How to meet other swingers? Find a unicorn? Be a hot wife? Well, you can find all that information as well and much, much more.
Check out SDC by clicking the link in the show notes and get your free 7-day membership.